good morning. Good morning. Now, y'all pray for me to eye that pie sound, okay? It's good to be here. I appreciate Brother Brady asking us to come to fill in for him. I know he needs some time off, and I know that you'll be praying for him, and I guarantee you he's praying for us right now. A good pastor, if they may go on vacation, but their minds are still on their church. I know by experience on all of those things. So it's good to be here. Glad to have my wife, Miss America, with me again today. Y'all remember her? How many remembers her? Amen. Herman and Hazel Blevins are friends with us today. Sherry and Jack Dublin laid out of Bethel today and come up here. Are y'all taping this? Okay, well, we're so glad to be here in the house of God. This is one of our favorite churches that we go to, and the Lord has blessed us so great to have good preacher friends that will trust us in their pulpit, and I appreciate that so much. Brother Brady has been a blessing to us down through the years since. In fact, when he first started preaching, I'd get him to come down to Liberty and preach. And we've always loved Brady and his wife and family. And I know you love him. And you're blessed to have a man of God like Brady Hayward here at this church. And as young as he is, if he lives to be as old as I am, you've got a pastor for a long time. Isn't that a blessing? I've got a pastor for a long time. I appreciate him and his family. And so we're just so glad to be here now today. Good Sunday school lesson, good choir singing, and, well, everything just been good. Like the preacher told the congregation one time, just to write God a note, a little letter, a little note. A little boy he wrote, and he said, God, we had a good service last Sunday. He said, I wish you'd have been there. We don't want it to be that way today, do we? I remember this quartet came to the church where I was pastoring one time, was having a revival. And that song was popular then without him, you know. And so the man talking for the quartet said, now the first song we're going to sing, we're going to sing without him. The vandal said, well, you better watch that. You can't sing without him. You know? But it's good to be in the house of God. I appreciate you being here. And if you're here lost today, you've already heard enough word of God to know how to be saved. And I'd like to see you walk the aisle for Jesus today. Nothing any greater than being saved. Through all the things of my life, the highlight of all my life is being saved by the grace of God. And this past February the 13th, I've been saved 62 years. And I tell you, the Lord's grace has been real. It's still real. And I thank Him that He's let me be able to keep going to fill in, to preach at churches where God opens doors. I appreciate that so much. You pray for us now today. Okay, now I'll be back Wednesday night. If I don't get it all said tonight, I'll save some for Wednesday night. How about that? I'm kind of like Brother Billy Kelly. He said, he told this little joke about this old Indian. He led his little pony on the side of the mountain and was going to give a smoke signal. Got his blanket off the mule and built his little fire, you know, and got ready to give that smoke signal. About that time, that was back in the 40s, when they was testing them atomic bombs, you know, over in the desert. That day, let one of those things, all big mushroom went up, you know, and the old Indian just folded his blanket back up and put it back on the pony and looked at that and said, boy, I wish I'd have said that. So every time I go to church, going home, I think about some more things I could have said. Had this man visit me this week that I'd went to school with back in the early 50s. And we were good friends back then, and we talked for nearly 2 hours. Now you think about that, a man talking for 2 hours. And I finally came to the house. It's time. My wife had my lunch. I told him, man, I said, I've got to go eat. I said, she's got it on the table, you know. And Betty said, boy, you've had you a good time talking today. And she knows I do. I appreciate her being here today. And, boy, she's done a good job keeping me fixed up, hasn't she? I told them one church I went to, I said, I was the best thing ever happened to her. And they said it's the other way around, and I agree to a certain extent to that. I appreciate her being with me. Okay, in your Bibles now today, in 1 Kings chapter 20, we want to read just one verse of this chapter in this chapter now today. And I want to preach the message the Lord has laid on my heart for this service. When Brother Brady asked me to come, I began to pray about that. Lord, you direct our hearts, our minds, to the scripture you want us to preach from. And I know when God does that, then everything will be all right. If you found your place, now 1 Kings chapter 20, let us stand for the reading of the Word of God now today. I want us to look at verse 28 in this chapter now, right now, at this time. The Bible said, there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to stand one more time to preach the Word of God. And I pray you help us, anoint us, our Father, give us a clearness of thought as we preach the Word you've laid on our heart now today. Bless Brother Brady and his family. Give them a safe trip back to this church. Lord, I know you're able. You're God. You can do all things. And Lord, all these requests have been made now today. I pray you a visit with those who are sick that couldn't be here now today. May they feel your divine touch, our Father, even this day. And then, our Father, we pray for everyone that's here. Help us, Lord, to see you like we need to see you now today. Lead us, Lord, save that lost soul that's nearest hell. Our Father, help us to honor and glorify thy name today. Oh, God, as we worship in thy presence. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now today. I want to talk to us today for just a little while on the God of the mountain and the God of the valley. Now, how many, I know you've heard that song, God on the Mountain, God of the Mountain. We've all heard that, and I love it. When the McCamus first began singing that song, my wife, she hears songs like that, and she always said, boy, that's my favorite song. And I came in from work one day, and she was sitting at the piano, and she was singing that, God on the Mountain. And I couldn't help but just join in and help her sing that, God on the Mountain. I was thinking, and last night we got a DVD of the McCamus and this man, Tracy Dart, that wrote this song, God on the Mountain, God of the Mountain. And he told his story of what made him, what brought him to write this great song that's been such a blessing now to so many people throughout the world, not only our country, but throughout the world, the God, I tell you, of the mountain and the God of the valley. And so he told about how in his business, how that God had blessed him, and he got saved at a certain age, and God had saved him by the grace of God, and he knew he was saved. And he's born in 1944 and born again then at probably age 30, somewhere thereabout. And he told about what brought him to write this song. He said his business had just about been depleted. It's just about gone and losing money every year, and had to finally lose his home, lost his business, all of his equipment, everything he had. And one night after he went to bed and had already probably went to sleep and woke up in the night. And he got up and got his notepad and his pencil, and these words came to him, and he wrote that song, "The God of the Mountain," and another song along about the same time. And what a blessing that song has been to so many different people. It's bought a lot of these singers great big buses. Amen. Now you think, just to think about the God of the Mountain. Now, hearing this scripture read in your hearing now, I thank God for all the Word of God. I mean, the Bible is such a great book. I mean, I don't know why that anyone would not want to study or preachers preach from the Word of God. What a great Bible we have to preach from, a great book. God give us one of the greatest books, and through all the scoffing and the knocking and criticizing of the Bible, it's still the number one seller in the whole world. So the Bible is such a great book. And so when I look at this chapter 20 here in the book of 1 Kings, we find out now how that Ahab had been at war now with Syria. God had already given him a victory over the Syrians, and God had, just like us here now today, God has already given us victory. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so when I look at these scriptures now today, and I see here now how that the king of Syria got word from this prophet, I guess one of his seers, and they said, now, the reason we're losing these wars is we're fighting these people on the mountain, on the hills, in the hills. And their god, they are their gods, they said, are the god of the hills, and we need to get them out on the plain and get them out in the valley. And when we go to war with them again, we'll be able to defeat them because their god is just the god of the mountain. Now, I don't know whether Mr. Dart ever read that scripture or not, but after I heard that song several times, I began to look in the Bible, study the Word of God, of where they could have got the scriptures to write such a great song as he wrote there. And so I found this, and in fact, I've not heard anyone else. In fact, this is the second time I've ever preached in my 59 years from this scripture right here in the Word of God. But the Lord gave me this message. I went back to the church where I pastored for 22 years at Liberty down near Monksville. And I preached it there, and boy, you talk about it was on. I tell you, the Lord blessed in a mighty way there at Liberty Baptist Church. And so I began to pray when Brady asked me to come here, and the Lord knew now what I needed. He knew what you needed. And in fact, he knows the very hairs of our head are numbered. He knows all about us. There's nothing hid before the God that we know. But here now, the Syrians, the Obed-Edom, he thought now, well, we'll go get our army together now. And they got great multitude of army together. And Israel looked like the two little groups of children out there. And it looked like now that since now then they've got them out in the plain, got them out in the valley, that the Syrians will come in, will wipe them out, and they'll be taken captive probably, what few is left. But I'll tell you something. They didn't understand that the God we serve is not just the God of the mountain, but he's the God of the valley also. And I begin to think upon that, how the Lord has been so good to me and my wife and my family. I thought about the high times of our life. I think about all the things that God has done for us down through our life. I think it was the greatest time, like I said, while I go up all my life. As when I went to the old Ronda Baptist Tabernacle when I was 17 years old in 1956. And the preacher preached on the cross. And I'm glad, thank God, after the preacher preached and gave the invitation, after a while I made my way to an old-fashioned altar prayer and bowed there a hail-going sinner. And thank God came back up the road a child of the King. Well, don't that make you feel good? So I'd say that the greatest mountain of all of our lives today was a day when the Lord Jesus came into our heart and life. The greatest experience I've ever had in all my life is when I was born again of the Spirit of God. I'm glad I knew on a Sunday night, February the 13th, 1956, I'm glad, thank God, He birthed me into the family of God. I become a child of God through faith, by His blood, by His grace. I tell you, the peace of God came in where that burden of sin had been. And I say, amen. He was the God of the mountain for me then. Amen. Well, I don't know if I can get on going or not here. In fact, I think I'm already going. But you know, and so when I look at that experience of being born again, and I think today this message that God has laid on my heart will be different from the first time I preached it. In fact, my wife, coming up the road that day, she said, Marvin, how come that you ain't never preached that before? She keeps a record on everything I preach. She's got 50-some years of cassette tapes and CDs of my preaching. And if it snows the church out sometimes, we can't go on Sunday. We just have a meeting at home and listen at me preach. Amen. And sometimes I catch me saying amen to my own preaching. But I say, folks, that was the greatest mountaintop experience I ever had. In fact, all of our life, till we got saved by God's grace, whether we realize it or not, I'll tell you, we never had a mountaintop experience. I'll tell you, in fact, we was in sin. We was dead in trespasses and sins. We didn't know God. And we didn't have, I'll tell you, the great Holy Spirit on the inside to make us know we're secure and that we're safe, and how that God, I tell you, moved into our heart and made us a child of the King. And one of these days He's coming back to get us and take us home. But the greatest mountaintop experience I had back at that time was when I got saved. I remember that night, went down that road. Oh, went down that road, lost, none done without God, the burden of sin. But I didn't go down there that night to get saved. But the Lord was in the arrangements, and He met me down there. I didn't go looking for Him. But I'm glad, thank God, He found me. Amen. And He saved me by the grace of God and made a child of King of me. And I tell you, the highlight, the mountaintop experience I had that day, I'll never forget that day when the Lord came into my heart and my life. He saved me. And I want to tell you something, ever since that time, I feel better now when I feel bad than I used to when I felt good. I don't know if I can say that again or not, but... but that's the fact. I tell you, it's good to be a child of God. I go to church after church, and I see a lot of folks, they look like they're so sad, and, oh, I had to come to church again today. Pitiful, pitiful. Oh, they drag themselves through the valley and don't understand that God is the God of the valley. There's been a lot of other highlights in my life. I remember on April the 15th, 1956, I met my bride. Amen. I was singing in the choir, just been saved a short time, singing in the choir. We were singing that old song, Swing Out on the Promise of God. And I said, swing out on the promises of God. About that time she walked in. I thought, well, I looked at her and I smiled at her and she smiled at me, and here we are. Amen. So now when we look back on our lives now, and we think about our salvation as being the highest mountaintop experience we've ever had, but there's other great experiences we've had. And like when you met your bride, you say, "Man, I don't want to talk about that." Well, you need. But God has blessed us now with nearly 60 years. Amen. 60 glorious years. Amen. Thank him for that. I mean, a mountaintop experience when I met her. And the church bus, the driver got sick that night, and she had rode that church bus, and the man said, "Who can take these folks home?" I said, "I believe I can take her, right, man." Oh, Lord, I'd got me a dollar bill changed before I went to church and rattled that in my pocket. Hey, man, back in them days, a dollar's worth of change. You wouldn't believe how many girls you could catch with just a dollar in change. Amen. But that was such a great mountaintop experience in our lives when we met. Then when we got married. Now, don't you young people do like we did? We eloped. In 1958, we went to Gaffney, South Carolina and got married. Probate Judge Dr. Bobby R. Douglas. Good deal. Marriage license, certificate, and the ceremony, $10. I'll say that was a real mountaintop experience. But you, I mean, what a good deal that was. This fellow talking about passing out, and I was so nervous. We stood there, and he said, "If anybody here sees a reason why these two should not be joined, holy macaroni now, speaking for every OGP." And I thought, nobody in here, us and you, and I'm not going to change my mind. But he got through with that ceremony, and he looked at me and said, "It'd be 10. And I was about to shake it. I didn't know what he meant. And he said, "It'd be 10. I still didn't recognize what he's talking. He said, "Sir, it'll be $10. I got my billfold out and handed him a 10. Should have given him a tip, but I didn't. And we came out from that place, came back up the road. Betty said, "Marvin, why did it take you so long to pay that man $10 for our wedding ceremony and all?" I said, "Betty, I was trying to figure out how I could Jew him down, you know." But that was that was another highlight, another mountaintop experience, really. I mean, when you think about God, the goodness of God and the greatness of God and how good the Lord had been to us. And I think of that. And then God gave us our first boy in 1963. What a high time that was when God gave us that little fellow. And I mean, we brought him home and laid him on the bed and said, "Lord, we thank you for this little baby." And we bowed down on our knees and dedicated him to God and said, "Help us raise him for you, Lord. And Lord, when he comes to age of accountability, I pray you'll save him by the grace of God." Amen. When he's 9 years old, God saved. All these mountaintop. Now, I'm talking about mountaintop. The God of the mountain. And then in 1975, God gave us our second boy. You're 13 years between them. We believed in having our youngins close together. And we just, and so God gave us another boy. And amen. What a mountaintop experience that was. But through all those mountaintop experiences, I can look back and I could go on and I could go on and on. But I got to get on with it because I don't usually hold you past 1 o'clock. Does Brady ever do that to y'all? Does he ever do that to y'all? Some shook their head, yeah. But anyhow, through all those mountaintop experiences that I can look back on, I have to remind you that there has been some valleys. When my wife was 30 years old, they diagnosed to have rheumatoid arthritis. And Dr. Mills looked at her and said, did anybody ever know Dr. Mills down here in town? Didn't have the best personality of anybody in the whole world. And ain't none of his kin folks here, are they? But anyhow, Anyhow, he said, you've got rheumatoid arthritis, and said, you'll just have to live with it. Take aspirins and put on a bunch of aspirins, and but you'll finally be bedfast. You'll finally be in a wheelchair. Now, folks, that puts you in the valley, don't it? So just like the Israel was here, I tell you, waiting out in the valley, and the enemy that thought God was just the God of the hills and the mountain, I'm glad, thank God, we found out. Now listen to me. We found out that that same God had blessed us to meet and to get together and saved us by the grace of God. He is the same God that will be there in the valleys. Well, glory to His name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. I'm glad we found out through all that and the sufferings that she went through and the times at night when that stuff was twisting her fingers and they turned nearly up her arm. And her toes, I tell you, been twisted a big toe over to where the little toe was. And I saw her suffer through all that. I tell you, folks, it brought us down in the valley. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes in the valley, there's always a rose. Amen. And sometimes at night, I'd hear her crying where she couldn't go to sleep for the pain she was bearing. And sometimes slide off of that bed on my knees beside that bed. Say, Lord, I want to thank you for my wife. Thank you for all the things you've done for us. Lord, if it just be your will, help her be able to get some sleep tonight. Crawl back up out of the floor, out of the valley. And the God of the mountain showed up. Amen. Well, glory to His name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, that don't embarrass you, does it? Amen. Made me feel better. And through all the things that we faced in our Christian life from that time forth, when the world says those Christians are just happy when they're having a good time at church, and when all the bills are being paid and everything is all right and their health is good and all that, but I want to tell you something, a real born-again child of God learns very quickly that our God is a God of the valleys also. And every time I think about a valley, I think about on each side of that valley, there's two hills. I just come off of one, heading up another, and I'm getting ready, thank God, to be back on the mountaintop. And the God of the valley will walk with me down the hill and up the next hill. And now then, I'll tell you, I can glorify His name like Israel did when they saw, I'll tell you, 100,000 Syrians killed. And then, I'll tell you, 27,000 that was left, God let a wall fall on them. Amen. You read that scripture. I'll tell you, folks, we're serving a great big God today. He's never failed a case. He never will. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. And thank God, one of these days, I will hear Him say, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Amen. You know, the older I get, the more I realize just how good God is. He blessed me with four grandchildren. My oldest son has three up in Richmond, Virginia. My youngest son has one in Florida. And I'll tell you, both of those boys got saved when they was 9 years old. They're the mountaintop. Tim got saved when he was 9 years old at Charity Hill Baptist Church. Jonathan got saved at home. And I might have told this year before. I don't remember what all I tell, you know. I just tell it again. If it's worth telling one time, it's worth telling again anyhow, ain't it? I might as well, but I better tell it while I still remember it. But I'd cut a finger off building a house for one of my brothers. And I got an infection in that finger and went to Dr. Bond. And he did surgery on that finger, and I came back out. And when I come back to the car, Betty and Jonathan was there in the car, and he's in the back seat just a-crying, and tears just running out of his eyes, and she's in the front seat crying. And I thought, now, who's trying to harm my family, you know? Now, what's the matter? She said, Marvin, little Jonathan felt like he ought to have got saved at Lewis Church last night, and he didn't. I said, Jonathan, the Lord will save you today. We'll go home. He'll save you. You don't have to be at church to be saved. We drove that old 64, I think it was electric 225 Buick, reached from here to the doors back there, it looked like now. And parked it in the carport, and I got out of the car and walked in, and Jonathan behind me and Betty behind him, and we went and marched into that bedroom where 9 years before that we put him on that same bed. We did that oldest boy and dedicated him to God and said, Lord, save him when he gets of age. And here, 9 years old. And I bet on one side, Betty on the other side, and I couldn't hardly say a word right then. I was up on the mountain, so I couldn't hardly say a word. And I finally said, Lord, thank you for giving us this little boy. Thank you for helping us to raise him to where he's 9 years old now. And I pray that you will save him by the grace of God. I done told him what he had to do to be saved. He understood. And the little fellow said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I want you to save me. I said, amen, looked around, and he turned around, a big smile on his face, and wrapped me around the neck and said, Dad, I'm saved. I'm saved. So those good mountaintop experiences of God of the mountain and the God of the valley and all of it makes us, I tell you, rejoice in a Savior's love. I thank him for his goodness, for his power, and for his might. That last grandson that got saved, one that lives in Florida, they was home with us for 3 weeks a while back. But I'm going to read his testimony that they put in their church bulletin, I think it was, there in Florida. Now, he wrote this himself. I'm going to read this, and we're going to soon go home. Well, it's just 12 o'clock. How about that? It's a testimony by Will Blackburn. One night as I was getting ready for bed, I told my mom I wanted to get saved. I was thinking about it for a while. I had been thinking about what would happen if there was no tomorrow. I did not want to go to hell. I knew I was a sinner, so I told my mom that I wanted to get saved. We called my grandpa Blackburn. Now, wasn't that a blessing? On the phone so he could pray with me. My mom, Dad, and I knelt beside my bed. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I was saved on October 24th, 2011. The next year, I reminded my mom that it would soon be my spiritual birthday. She asked, how did you remember? I said, how can I forget? It was the best day of my life. I want to get a song now today. There may be some young people here today that, Lord, could use that to touch your heart. There might be some older people that the Lord might have touched your heart today. And as we give this invitation, I say if you want to get on the mountaintop, you better get there with Jesus. Come to him. And he'll save you today. Little Will is such a blessing. We'll go out sometimes to restaurants and eat. And I said, Will, would you return thanks for us for the food? He's 13 now. And that boy, I think sometimes, boy, cut that prior short. I'm a little hungry, you know. But The grace of God's been so real in our lives, and I thank Him. Now, if you're here lost, what's the number, brother? 113. As we stand and sing now today, if you want to be saved, come on.